Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you. National Accessibility Week is taking place this week from May 28th until June 3rd. This year's theme is Disability Inclusion from Possibilities to Practice. National Accessibility Week is an opportunity to mark the important contributions of Canadians with disabilities and to highlight how Canadians are identifying, removing, and preventing barriers to inclusion and accessibility. Here in BC, the New Inclusive Economy, or NIE, is hosting a series of business-to-business conversations intended to share research project findings with employers throughout the province. Now, throughout the month of June, the New Inclusive Economy Roadshow will gather together employers with an inclusive employment story and employers who aspire to be disability inclusive in communities throughout BC for a panel discussion and presentation. The goal is to connect and share knowledge about inclusive hiring and employment in BC while supplying an interactive panel and presentation. These are free and accessible events. The roadshow will be in Smithers at the Pioneer Place on June 14th, starting at 11:30 until 1 p.m. This project will result in a set of promising practices for employers and entrepreneurs who want to be more inclusive and equitable. Through an engaging and accessible process, the New Inclusive Economy Research aims to benefit people with disabilities who need and deserve to be recognized as having a place in the economy. Today, I'm speaking to Lenny Goggins in Powell River, a project manager for the New Inclusive Economy Project, to really find out and learn who this project is aimed for and how business owners, as well as people who run not-for-profits and charities in the Skeena region, can start applying and implementing practices in their own workspaces to become much more accessible. And also stay tuned after this. My colleague Dan Messick was at Pride this weekend, grabbing a couple of on-the-street interviews with Pride attendees. So stay tuned for that after my interview with Lenny.
So my name is Lenny Goggins, and I am the Director of Social Economy and Other Cool Stuff from Inclusion Pell River Society.
So we're here to talk about National Accessibility Week, as well as the New Inclusive Economy. Mm-hmm. Can you start off by telling us what is National Accessibility Week?
Yeah, so it's a national initiative to highlight that we don't necessarily have the most accessible society when it comes to folks in wheelchairs, folks with diverse abilities. And so it's to promote accessibility, whether it be physical or social inclusion.
Okay. And who's the goal for this New Inclusive Economy initiative?
Mm-hmm. So at Inclusion Pell River, we strive towards a society in which everyone belongs, and employment is a really key part of belonging. And so we ultimately want a world in which people with disabilities have choice and access to the labor market. The New Inclusive Economy takes the approach of researching what employers who are currently employing people with disabilities are doing so that we can share those best practices and those structural conditions that those employers are creating with employers who are not yet inclusive. So it's a very big picture take to look at how can we make BC the most inclusive province in Canada by offering best practices of what's already happening in our province. So the presenters in each of the 10 communities that we're visiting are champions of inclusive employment. So in the community of Smithers, we have three local employers who are going to share their practices and why they have chosen to become an inclusive employer. And we invite an audience of employers who we call aspiring. So those that might not be employing people with disabilities or haven't really thought about it too much, but that are interested in learning more, either to address the labor shortages that employers are facing right now, or simply by wanting to become more equitable and diverse.
Okay, so who are some of the employers in Smithers that have implemented disability inclusion in their workplace? And I guess, could you tell me maybe some of the measures of inclusivity that they've implemented as well?
So yeah, when we talk about disabilities in the New Inclusive Economy Project, we're talking pan-disabilities. So that includes people with developmental disabilities, as well as mental health disabilities, disabilities acquired later in life, or disabilities that are not just in that developmental disability category. So it's a very broad pan-disability look. And I'm really excited about our event in Smithers because we have a really diverse slate of speakers. And they, almost all of them, have some type of social enterprise or what we call an alternative economic approach to inclusion. And so that includes High Road Services, that includes Grendel Group. It includes an initiative called Share, Use, Repair, who is actually traveling to Smithers from the coast. And they're speaking specifically about circular businesses. So businesses that are recycling, reusing, or repairing materials to keep products out of the waste stream. And so that's a really interesting group that will be speaking about their own projects around inclusion and the circular economy. Smithers is there's a lot of clusters of social enterprises around Smithers. It's a very special community. So we wanted to make sure that we were featuring what those employers are doing so that that could be shared with any employment setting, not just those that are alternative or social focused, that these are practices that can be utilized in any employment setting.
Mm-hmm. Now, if someone, an employer or not, I guess, wants to inform themselves if their business is inclusive or not, what would be a good first step for them to start looking at or to start reading?
Yeah. So what I always like to share with employers is that inclusive employment it's not just about creating jobs for people with disabilities. It's about creating work environments that are good for humans. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at your own business and you ask yourself, what do my employees appreciate about working here? What benefits parents who have young children? What benefits older workers? There are so many different ways in which employers are actually already being accessible. We just don't often think about it that way. And so there is no recipe that works for every employer. I would say each employer is unique and each employer has different considerations when they're thinking about their labor. But if we create work environments that work for people, and the more we can do that, the more inclusive they will be. And so one of the key findings from the New Inclusive Economy research that we'll be sharing is around flexibility, around part-time work. So how many positions are you able to create that are part-time? How many positions can you create that are flexible so that it's either job sharing or flexible hours or flexible duties? And then also thinking about, does your employment setting have mechanisms in place for when workers are injured? So what happens when you have a worker that's injured? Can they come back to work and work? Mm-hmm. Because if you can address any of those things, you actually are becoming an inclusive employer.
Now, is the New Inclusive Economy, is that any sort of response to BC's Office of the Human Rights Commission? They had a campaign last year. It took place up in Skeena here. It was called Rewrite the Rules campaign, and it's about ableism and discrimination based on disability in communities in BC. Is this in any way tied to some findings from that initiative as well?
So I think that we're not directly associated with that campaign, but it's a movement towards inclusion. It aligns with the Canada Accessible Act, as well as BC's new accessibility legislation. And so our governments are all looking at ways in which our society can be more accessible, in particular to people with disabilities, because people with disabilities, first of all, they represent a large part of the population. So in BC, it's nearly a quarter of our population self-identifies as having a disability. And secondly, that population is the least likely to be as engaged in the labor market and more likely to be living in poverty. And so when you have all that together, it means there needs to be a concerted effort towards creating more labor market participation, alleviating poverty, and making sure that everyone has equitable access to the economy, which can result in a lot of different things for people. When we have access to the economy, it means we have better health outcomes, we have stronger communities, we have more diverse representation at all levels of society and life. So I think there you know, there's a lot of great projects that are coming out of that push towards Canada wanting to be a more accessible country. And BC in particular has a goal of becoming the most accessible province in Canada. So it's very well known that people with disabilities have barriers to employment. What is less known is what are the barriers that employers are facing to create inclusive jobs. So with the new inclusive economy, we, you know, we've surveyed, it was 87 employers across BC, and now we've conducted interviews, focus groups, and case studies with employers. And we're going to the employers that are already doing it first, because we want to know what is it that they've done to make that possible, and why, what precipitated their business to becoming inclusive. And then hopefully from there, we'll then have a set of practices that we can share with employers that aren't there yet for whatever reason. So we have a lot of work to do in terms of identifying barriers that employers have to creating inclusivity. But we have known for a very, very long time that people with disabilities are not able to enter work. For it's a very, very long list, but a couple of the things that I can mention are when you have complex medical care needed, it's very difficult to say work in a full-time position. Mm-hmm. And with full-time positions come pensions and medical benefits and so many incentives for working full-time, but many people with disabilities can't work full-time. There are biases and discrimination that's taking place for people with disabilities, assumptions around what someone is capable of. You know, the list goes on and on in terms of how people are being left out and excluded.
Yeah, thanks for that. It's nice to know that the responsibility to do this learning and figure out how to be a more inclusive workspace isn't left up to the people who are seeking out work, but employers who have the opportunity to be able to do this learning and a bit of the privilege as well to have workshops and information given to them.
Yeah. And what this project, we did something unique where we included entrepreneurs with disabilities as employers. So while they might only be employing themselves or maybe one other person, we still consider them an employer. So we will have research to share about why people with disabilities are choosing entrepreneurship and what it is that they're providing to themselves to be able to be included in work. And so I think that we have a lot to learn from that group of people who are just carving out these amazing small businesses to be able to fulfill their need to work and their desire to work.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. I guess to that end, could you tell me about the new Inclusive Economy Roadshow and I guess maybe just some of the highlights or what people can expect?
Yeah. So we're visiting 10 communities, beginning with Surrey this Friday. And in each community, we identify local champions of inclusive employment. We identify co-hosts, so community members that are interested in promoting inclusion. And then we invite an audience of employers who want to learn more about it. And so each event is different in each community. The first event is in Surrey, as I said. Smithers, I believe, is our fourth city that we visit. We'll also be visiting Terrace the next day on the 15th. So if folks are closer to Terrace, then they can go to Terrace. And if they want to come to Smithers, they can. Each event is a little unique. And then our furthest northern community is Fort St. John. And these communities were selected on the basis of having organizations and municipalities who have a commitment to inclusion. And so, you know, really, these are our sort of feature cities in BC where there's a lot of potential for inclusion.
Letty, was there anything that I didn't ask about that you think is important for people to know about the initiative or the roadshow?
I would just say that our event in Smithers is Wednesday, June 14th. It's from 11:30 to 1, and it's a complimentary lunch. And, you know, you'll expect to come and meet a lot of other interesting businesses and get to hear stories of inclusion, including hearing from people with disabilities themselves. So that's really exciting. So the event is being held on June 14th at 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Pioneer Place. And so, yeah, we welcome any employer, any community member who wants to learn more about inclusive employment.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for speaking to me about this. And I hope that there's a good turnout in Smithers. Even just the businesses that you mentioned, I'm very happy that they're involved and also that they're getting highlighted for the work that they do. So that's very cool. And yeah, I hope people come and get informed on June 14th.
Great. Thank you.
Pride events in Smithers wrapped up this past weekend following weeks of controversy over what people perceived to be a drag queen story time being held at Smithers Public Library. However, there was some misinformation that happened on social media, especially and around the community, but that didn't stop more than 800 people from signing a petition that went to Smithers Council with their concerns around drag queen story time being offered at Smithers Library. However, that was not the case. Still, there was a lot of bad noise about what was actually happening at Bulville Square in regards to Pride events, including a drag king story time that took place. But I hit the streets around Bulville Square during Pride events to talk to Smithereens about what they thought of Pride, the controversies surrounding the event this year, and why they celebrated Pride in Smithers.
How's it going? My name's Jesus, and I'm just a bit over 2,000 years old. You know, I think I'm looking pretty okay for 2,000, but yeah, I just figured I'd come down here and make sure that anybody that was yelling at the nice folks that are attending this parade remembered the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Which is?
Love thy neighbor.
I guess, Jesus, how have you been feeling about some of the controversies, some of the issues that have been going on with this Pride event? We've had Pride here for a number of years, but this is the first time that we've heard so much noise about it.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people twisting the word of God to satisfy their own hatred, and it's not a very cool way to manipulate something that was intended to be good teaching, right? I figure if people can't read the Bible, there's always the audiobook.
I'm just sitting there.
What do you love about Pride?
Well, this is actually my first Pride parade, and I think it's great. There's so many people around here that are just smiling and happy, and everyone's just happy to be themselves, and it's a great time.
Okay, Jesus, much obliged.
Thank you.
So, you just want to tell me your name first.
I'm Kristen.
And Kristen, we're here at Pride. You said that this is your first Pride.
Yes, it's my first Pride ever.
And how's it going?
It's great. There's lots of colors and lots of costumes, and people are looking pretty happy around here.
I guess, why did you want to come down to Pride today?
I just wanted to see what it's about and support the community.
Obviously, this one has gotten a little bit more attention, not the most positive attention in town. But, you know, what do you have to say to some of that? You know, obviously, this is all about it, you know, accepting people, but there are some concerns in the community that people brought to council, and you mentioned you saw the meeting. What did you think of all of that?
I guess I just think that we should support people where they're at and kind of meet them as they are. And I think Smithers is big enough for everybody.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
My name is Ella Backrack, and I am an 18-year-old from Smithers.
Great, Ella. You're still enrolled at the high school, not for long, but how was Pride at the high school? And I guess you guys had it on Friday. Today we're here kind of at Main Street with the big events. Looks like a good turnout. What does Pride mean for you, but also for you as a youth and seeing this at your high school?
Yeah, so we, the team who put on Pride at the high school always do an awesome job. Mr. Rath is incredible, as always. Definitely wasn't as big of a turnout at the high school this year, but it's awesome to see so many people out here today. As a young gay person, it hasn't been awesome seeing all of the protests recently, so it's really nice to see just how many good people there are left in our town. And that I actually do live in a place that supports who I am and who I love.
You're about to head off to university next year. Obviously, going through high school, adolescence is a bit of a tough time. It can be a tough time trying to figure your identity out and all this business. You know, how was it for you? Because obviously it sounds like you've had a lot of support.
Yes. Yeah, so I personally figured out my identity at a very young age. I was 12 years old. But I have watched, even just throughout my time in high school, how much more accepting it's become. When I first entered the high school in grade 8, there were probably 3 or 4 out gay people. And now you walk around the high school and everyone's out and everyone's gay and everyone's awesome and happy. So it's been really cool to watch, even just over the past 5 years, how much more accepting and diverse the school's become.
You don't often see that in a rural community, and you're going to be going to a big city where the rules are completely different. I know you know that, but in a rural community, it can be quite difficult. What do you think people need to do in their rural communities to make sure that people have the support?
I think making sure that we form an accepting community and find your own niche. So I personally joined theater in grade 8, and theater is just about the gayest place you can possibly be. And I found a super accepting group of people there. So I think it's just about forming those little niche areas where people are completely able to be themselves, and then allowing that accepting vibe to spread to the rest of the community.
Right on. Okay, great, Ella. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sophie Perdo, she, her, Vice President of the Smithers Pride Society.
And Sophie, how are things going today? It looks like it's a beautiful day and a lot of people here.
It's going incredible, better than we could have even imagined. As usual, the event has grown like it does year after year. If you're having a good time, weather's perfect.
Now, we've had Pride for many years here in Smithers, but this year we saw more controversy than ever. And, you know, you kind of just mentioned to me you're walking with the queens to make sure that they're safe. You know, what's the climate been for you guys? And obviously things are going really well today, so how does it feel?
You know, today feels good. It feels safe. The weeks leading up to this have been feeling not so safe. Obviously, there is a group that has been unfortunately claiming some harmful rhetoric that really just comes from a place of uneducation and fear. And the Pride Society just wants to open themselves up to have conversation with anyone, try and work through that, because the last thing we want is for people to be, you know, butted against each other.
I know I saw you at the council meeting the other night. Obviously, a lot of people spoke in, you know, obviously supporting of the gay Pride community in Smithers and the events, obviously, that are taking place. But, you know, there were some people that brought some, I guess, concerns to council about SOGI, the being taught in schools. You know, I guess I kind of saw you there and a bit of your reaction to some of the comments. You know, what do you have to say to hearing some of that, and also what people might be missing about, you know, SOGI being taught in schools?
Yeah, I mean, really, like I said earlier, what it comes down to is the lack of understanding, the lack of education. And yeah, I was quite fired up because it's infuriating to see a marginalized community be hated on even more so simply because they don't know. They kept, you know, trans and drag and saying it's pedophilia, and everything was just so dehumanizing and completely unfactual, right? So we're just here to try and help educate people. We have events like this, people feel seen, they feel heard, and, you know, we can make this community safer.
All right, thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks so much for coming out. Happy Pride!
Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skeenastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.